I'd like to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Before we get to the verses that will be our text, we want to point out some characteristics of the book of Revelation that we need to keep in mind, and we'll see these in chapter 1. The book begins, chapter 1, verse 1, by giving us the full title of the book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the title of the book. The title of the book is not The Revelation of John. It is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. In that title, we also see the nature of the book. It is a revelation. That is, it's an unveiling, an uncovering, a making known. Revelation is not a mysterious book. It's a revelation, an unveiling. We also see the subject or the focal point of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the focal point of the book. We see the purpose of the book. It is the unveiling, the making known of Jesus Christ. He's the revealer, and He's the revealed. In the book of Revelation. So it is a book about Jesus. It's not merely a book about end times. It is about end times, but in light of Jesus Christ. The subject of the book is Jesus Christ. We also learn from the first verse that the book contains what God would have us to know about the future, to show, it says, to reveal unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. But again, all the things which must come to pass are in light of the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Also from verse 1, we are told that the revelation was unto His servant, John. And we read in verse 2 that he bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ in all things that he saw. From verse 9, we see the place where the revelation took place, on an island called Patmos. John, of course, had been exiled there for preaching the Word of God. In chapter 1, verse 4, we see that the book was written to seven churches of the Lord. These seven churches were located in Asia during the time of John. So these are real churches. Churches that actually existed. They're not dispensational. They're not allegorical. They are seven literal churches. In verse 19, John is commanded to write. He is instructed what to write. And in that, we see the outline of the book, which is threefold. We see that he's right to write the things which thou hast seen. That would cover verses 10 through 18 of chapter 1. Notice also the things which are. That would cover chapters 2 and 3. And then the things which shall be hereafter. That would cover chapter 4 through the end of the book. And all of it is in light of the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now keep that in mind, and we come to our text, chapter 2, begin reading with verse 8 down through verse 11. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So what we just read is one of the 7 individual letters addressed to the pastors of these churches. It's important to notice that each letter begins with Christ presenting himself to each church. The way in which he presented himself corresponds to the ways that he presented himself to John in chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. So each letter begins with Jesus Christ. In each letter, there's instruction from the Lord. In each letter, there's an admonition to give heed. He that hath an ear, that is a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. So what is being said must not be disregarded. We are to hear. In each letter, there's a promise to the individual that overcometh, that is, rises above the world and circumstances. And these are also the ones who would hear what the Lord had to say. So what we've read here is the letter to the church located in Smyrna. And we want to take the thought from the exhortation found in verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death. And that is our subject. Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. Again, the revelation of Jesus Christ. John is the original recipient of the revelation. He was to send the revelation to the Lord's churches at that time for the purpose of edifying and strengthening the members that made up those churches, thus strengthening his churches. So let's begin by looking at the circumstances that this church of Smyrna found themselves in. In verse 9, we read of their present difficulties and troubles. And we have the exhortation, be thou faithful. And to be thou faithful, it was for the times in which they found themselves and in spite of those times. So notice some words here in verse 9 that describes their situation. There's the word tribulation. Tribulation. The word means pressure. It was used in that day to refer to the crushing of an object under the weight of heavy stones. It was used as an example of a man who was tortured to death by being slowly crushed by great stones. It's also used of juice being pressed out of grapes. So when Jesus said, I know thy tribulation, he's not referring to minor setbacks. He's not referring to minor irritations. The Smyrna church was experiencing crushing pressure. Notice also the word poverty, the Greek word tosian. It's the word for abject poverty, a poverty that brings degradation. They were not just poor, they were miserably poor. They were absolutely destitute. That being said, it is also added that they were rich toward God. Notice also concerning their difficulties, you have the word blasphemy. I know the blasphemy. This blasphemy, a defilement, a desecration, irreverence. It came from those who profess salvation. They say they are Jews, and they are not. And they are not. But in reality, they were of the synagogue of Satan. They profess salvation, but they weren't saved. In fact, they were active enemies of the Smyrna church. And such has been true throughout the history of the Lord's churches. False religion and false professors have been the most zealous in opposing that which is true. So this church of Smyrna lived in the midst of terrible tribulation, and poverty, and blasphemy. And they had to deal with the spirit of the synagogue of Satan. That's the present circumstances. And then in verse 10, we read that in addition to these, there would be future difficulties and troubles. It says in verse 10, "For none of those things which thou shalt suffer." That's in the future. So there would be more hurt in the future. There would be more affliction in the future. There was hurt, there was affliction, there were difficulties, there were troubles in the present, but there would be more. And there would be imprisonments. It goes on in verse 10 to say, "The devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried." And there would be tribulation, excruciating suffering of body and mind. This was their future. There would be affliction and agony and anguish and distress and torment and woe, both of body and mind. So from verses 9 and 10, we see that they were in difficult and troublesome times. And there were going to be more difficult and troublesome times to come. This was their life. This was their future. It's very much like ours today. Maybe not to the same degree, maybe so. We don't know. But we live in difficult times. We live in troublesome times. And the future holds more troubles and difficulties. And that brings us to the exhortation, which is twofold. He says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." So there was suffering in their future, but they were not to fear the future. They were not to fear the sufferings of the future. To fear here means to be bothered. To the extent that you fret and you stress and you may even get to the point of despair. He says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." He is saying there is more suffering. You are suffering now, but there's more suffering in your future. But do not be given over to fret and the stress and the despair. They were not to become victims of fear. Why? Because fear would be a detriment to the next and the main part of the exhortation, which is, be thou faithful unto death. So you have a negative, fear not, or fear none of those things, and you have a positive, be thou faithful unto death. He is saying, in the midst of your present circumstances, be faithful. And in view of the sufferings that are going to come upon you in the future, be faithful. He is saying, be thou faithful in your present circumstances. Do not let your circumstances deter you. You be faithful. Do not let them sidetrack you. You be faithful. And when the present is past and you find yourself in your future circumstances, be faithful. So what he's saying is be faithful whatever. Be faithful whenever. Be faithful whatever. Now, what is the best way to ensure faithfulness in the future? Be faithful in the present. If you're not faithful in the present, you have no basis, you have no grounds to say that you will be faithful in the future. The best way to ensure faithfulness in the future is to be faithful in the present. But people will say all the time, well, I would be more faithful, but, and then they give a long list of all the reasons they're not. And when these things clear, you can count on me. The problem is, when those things clear, there's going to be something else. Present faithfulness is the best insurance for future faithfulness. Be thou faithful. No matter what your present circumstances are, be thou faithful. No matter what's on the horizon, be thou faithful. So what does that mean? Because it seems to me today that there is with a lot of words, there is a new definition. I'm not talking about the modern day definition of faithfulness, because that's a miserable failure. But what does it mean to be faithful? Well, it is a steadfast affection, in this case for the Lord, a steadfast sense of allegiance. There has to be a feeling of allegiance in order to be faithful. It conveys the idea, of course, of loyalty. And whatever idea is conveyed, it's constant, it's consistent, faithful. It's unswerving adherence, the exact and consistent observance of what God would have us to do. It is commitment. It is commitment. Faithfulness implies that there's a duty, that there's an obligation, that there's a responsibility. Be thou faithful. And no matter what the present is, no matter what the future will be, God's people have a duty. And God's people have a responsibility to God. And the call to each one of us is, be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. The call for each member of this church is to be thou faithful. It's a personal command. There is a generality about it. But first and foremost, it's a personal command. Be thou faithful. None are exempt. No one here is exempt. None are excused. There are many today who would have you to believe that they've been excused from this. But they're sadly mistaken. None are excused. No exceptions are made. It's not be thou faithful if there's no conditions stipulated. It is just simple and straightforward. Be thou faithful. Be thou. It is a call to be something. It's not a call to do something. It's a call to be something. Be faithful. You have to be in order to do. So it's a state of being. It's who we are. It's what we are. Be thou faithful. It's devotion. We're talking about to God. It's devotion to God. You say, well, we're to be faithful to one another too. I know that. And if you're faithful to God, you'll be faithful to one another. The foundation is God. Devotion to God. Dedication to God. Allegiance to God. Be thou faithful. It is consistently and continually, not just occasionally, not just every now and then when it suits you or me, but it is consistently and continually being set apart for God. Reserved for God. Surrender to God. Be thou faithful. It is consistently God being the focus and the purpose and the passion of our lives. Consistently and continually. Not once a month. Not once a week. Consistently and continually, be thou faithful. It is a decided, a continual, continuous, consistent, decided life for God. A life all about God. Be thou faithful. It is God being first. Consistently, not just every now and then, but consistently. Now we know we're not faithful all the time. None of us are. But there is a consistency. There is to be a consistency amongst the people of God. I'll tell you right now, people have tried it many times. It will not work as long as I'm in my right mind. You can attend the services here every now and then when the mood strikes. Don't you dare come and criticize those who are here all the time. It's not going to fly. It happens all the time. Well, I'd be there more, but brother so-and-so, I don't want to hear it. And I'm not going to tolerate it. There's nothing right about that. I'm not going to listen to the charges brought against the faithful by the unfaithful. Not happening. And I'm afraid many fall into that trap. Well, so-and-so says, well, so-and-so is not dependable because they're unfaithful. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in their opinion. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. Be thou faithful. It is consistently serving God, obeying God, thanking God, praising God, looking to God, pursuing God. Be thou faithful. It is consistently planning to serve God. And we've preached on this in the past. Plan to serve God. Make that your plan to serve God. Don't plan everything else, and if God fits in, we'll serve Him. That's not faithful. Plan to serve God. It is consistently rising above the madness and the confusion of the world. It is consistently abandoning the crowd and the trends and the ways and the thoughts of the world. It is consistently leaving our comfort zones and stepping out and standing up and speaking out without hesitation and with firm conviction that Jesus Christ is the King of my life. That's faithfulness. And it's not just saying one thing with your lips and doing something else with your life. It works both ways. Be thou faithful. It means that you remain connected, you remain linked in heart to God. Be thou faithful. Not only includes everything that's involved in everything we've mentioned, but it's regardless. It's regardless. You can even add the word, be thou faithful, regardless. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful regardless. That's what Job expressed in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, that is, though God slay me, yet will I trust in Him. In other words, whatever God does to me, if God fills my body with disease, if God gives me health, whatever God does to me, I'm going to trust Him. That's faithfulness. That you got a crowd today that's mad at God. Faithfulness doesn't get mad at God. It's whatever God sees fit for my life, I'm still going to trust Him. God help us to be faithful. It's what the three Hebrews expressed in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. They were threatened with the fiery furnace, and unless they bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, if it be so, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not bow to the image that you've set up. You put whatever you want to put on the other side of Job's though, and on the other side of whether it be so, if it be so, or but if it not, put whatever you want, but be thou faithful, regardless. Faithfulness is no matter what is or comes. Be thou faithful. A lot of people don't serve the Lord anymore, and they all have reasons. But here's the reason. They're not faithful. They're not faithful. Faithfulness is regardless of your feelings. Do we always feel like being faithful? No. Sometimes we think that it would just be easier if I wasn't. Well, no, it wouldn't. But be thou faithful, regardless of your feelings. Well, I used to come, but I got my feelings hurt. Be thou faithful regardless of your feelings. Be thou faithful regardless of your circumstances. Be thou faithful regardless of what others have done and regardless of what they are doing. Be thou faithful. This faithfulness that we speak of is not the norm. Solomon asked in Proverbs 20, verse 6, a faithful man who can find. It's rare. Secondly, notice the extent, we have to hurry, and time frame of the exhortation. Be thou faithful unto death. Now, I believe unto death states the extent or the degree of faithfulness. It also expresses the time frame of faithfulness. Be thou faithful, even if it means death. That's what Esther expressed in Esther 4:15. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to do what God told me to do, she says. If I perish, I perish. Be thou faithful, even if it means death. It is also, be thou faithful until you die. Old age is not an excuse for unfaithfulness. Be thou faithful until you die. Be thou faithful all your life, covering all circumstances and conditions. Be thou faithful no matter what the season, no matter what the day. Be thou faithful unto death. May be a season of enjoyment, it may be a season of distress. Be thou faithful. May be a season of convenience, it may be a season of inconvenience. Be thou faithful. It may be a time of ease, it may be a time of difficulty. Be thou faithful. It might be a time of joy. It might be a time of heartache and sorrow. Be thou faithful. It may be a smooth time. It may be a rough time. Be thou faithful. It may be a high time. It may be a low time. Be thou faithful. It may be dark. It may be stormy. The sun might be shining. Be thou faithful. Circumstances do not determine whether or not we're going to be faithful. There are friends and there are enemies. Sometimes you'll be in the presence of friends. Sometimes you'll be in the presence of enemies. Sometimes your friends will become your enemies. Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. There are days of strength. There are days of weakness. Be thou faithful. There are days of health. There are days of disease. Be faithful. There are days when you have assurance. There are days when you have doubt. Be faithful. And on we could go, but you get the picture. Be thou faithful regardless. God's people and the Lord's churches today are expected to go along with everything and everybody. But God didn't put us here to get along with everybody. He put us here to be faithful. God's people and Lord's churches today are expected to be accommodating and accepting of everybody and everything. But God did not put us here to be accommodating to the world, but to be faithful. God's people and Lord's churches today are expected to appeal to the ungodly masses. But God didn't put us here to appeal or to be appealing, but to be faithful. God's people in churches today are expected not to say anything that would offend And the result is many preachers have cultivated the art of almost saying something. They almost say something. But if you almost say something, you haven't said anything. God did not put us here to be non-offensive. He put us here to be faithful. To be faithful. We are not going to go out of our way. We are not going to purposely offend anyone. But hopefully we're going to be faithful. And the truth is that will offend some. Here we are living in the days in which we live. And God has called us, be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. Lastly, consider the one who spoke the command. Jesus Christ, in very plain language, says, be thou faithful. We need to hear those words coming from Jesus Christ. Be thou faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ says, be steadfast in your affection toward God. Be committed in your allegiance to God. Jesus Christ says, be consistent in your loyalty to God. Be unwavering in your obedience to God. The letter begins with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, God Himself, the Lord of all, the Lord of lords, the Lord of glory, He says, be thou faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very one who, because He loved us, left all the glories and majesties of heaven and took upon Himself human flesh in its lowest form, says, be thou faithful unto death. The one who bore the sorrow and the anguish that was due us, He's the one who says, be thou faithful. The one who was delivered as a criminal and condemned to death in order to deliver me from the pit of destruction, it's He that says, be thou faithful. One who did not have any sin and became sin for us. He was spotless. He was innocent. He was pure. And our sins were laid upon Him. And we need to hear these words from Him. Be thou faithful. The one who was voluntarily treated by God as if He had been the sinner, says, be thou faithful. The one who bore the full curse of my sins. I need to hear these words coming from Him. Be thou faithful. Jesus Christ, the one who came to our prison cell while we were in an enslavement far worse than any other, shackled and in the grasp and binding power of spiritual death. There we were, held in the mire, in the depths of darkness, guilt and condemnation. And it was He that came where we were and set us free. And it's He that says, "Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful." The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our light, He is our rock, He is our refuge, He is our strength, He is our physician, He's our everything. And He says, "Be thou faithful." The one who will never leave me nor forsake me. Never mislead me. Never misguide me. Never forget me. He's the one who says, "Be thou faithful." Keep in mind who it is that says, "Be thou faithful." People will forget you. We forget one another every day. People will forget. He won't. And it's He that says, "Be thou faithful." The one who is suited to my every need, my every problem, my every trial. He's the one that says, "Be thou faithful." He that hath an ear, let him hear. Can you hear? Can you hear the Lord say, "Be thou faithful"? Well, Brother Dan, you don't understand. I'm in a really rough spot. That may be so. But can you hear the Lord say, the one who saved your soul, "Be thou faithful"? Be thou faithful. Put Him first. Put Him first. Be faithful. Well, you don't understand. My family, they're depending on me. Be thou faithful. Not saying you can't be there for your family, but not at the cost of being unfaithful to the Lord. To the Lord. Be thou faithful. We need to hear those words coming from Christ. Would I lay down my life for the Lord? Can I stand here and say to you in full assurance, "I will give my life for the Lord"? No, I can't. Well, I would. Would you? I hope you would. And we only will if God helps us. God gives us grace. Places in the world where Christians are persecuted. Take a little child, take your son or your daughter. Will slit their throat unless you denounce Christ. Oh, I would denounce Christ. You won't even denounce them now if your son has a baseball game. Don't tell me. I'm sorry, I'm not that foolish. None of us can say, "I will never deny thee, Lord." I hope I don't. And we just have to pray, "Lord, give us the grace, give us the strength to be faithful. To be faithful unto the Lord." But we can't worry about whether or not we'll be faithful in the future. People speak very boldly, "Oh, if it came right down to it, I would be there." Well, that's easy to say about the future. So let's just bring it down to the present. Are you faithful? Be thou faithful in the present. We can't concern ourselves with the future. We just have to be faithful this Sunday, Come tomorrow, be thou faithful then. Come Tuesday, be thou faithful then. It's just day by day. Faithfulness. That's what God has called us to. Are any of us as faithful as we should be? No. I'd be the first to tell you I am not as faithful as I should be. I'm not as faithful as I could be. Well, that's shameful. You're in the same boat. But God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be more faithful. More faithful. Someone says, well, I would, whatever, but I just don't feel like I would be faithful enough. We're all in that same boat. We just got to pray every day, Lord, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful. I believe everyone here that's saved wants to be faithful to the one who saved your soul. Be faithful today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be faithful today. Just be faithful. That's who and what we're to be. Be thou faithful unto death. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.